Hello, this is Wesley J. Smith, Senior Fellow in Human Rights and Bioethics at the Discovery Institute, and you're listening to What It Means to Be Human. Back in 2000, I wrote an article for the Weekly Standard entitled, Is Bioethics Ethical? In it, I warned about Armstrong v. Montana, a Montana Supreme Court abortion ruling that was so overbroad and sweeping, I predicted it could change the way Montanans live and the way they die. At the time, I believed that the majority opinion was a signal to euthanasia activists to file a lawsuit seeking a state constitutional right to assisted suicide. In 2007, that suit, Baxter v. Montana, was finally brought, and now District Court Judge Dorothy McCarter has ruled that the law outlawing assisted suicide violates Montana's constitutional right to privacy and a clause in the Constitution stating, quote, the dignity of the human being is inviolable. From this, she concluded, there is a fundamental right to, quote, die with dignity, by which McCarter means suicide by drug overdose. It is perhaps the first time in American jurisprudence that an advocacy slogan, death with dignity, has been elevated to the level of a constitutional principle. McCarter also ruled that doctors have a concomitant right to be free from, quote, liability under the state homicide statutes, close quote, if they decide to assist a patient commit death with dignity. Quote, if the patient were to have no assistance from his doctor, she explained, he may be forced to kill himself sooner in a manner that violates his dignity and peace of mind, such as by gunshot or by other unpleasant method, causing undue suffering to the patient and his family. Close quote. That suicide is not a necessity apparently never entered the judge's mind. The Attorney General has announced the state will appeal, and McCarter's ruling being affirmed by the Montana Supreme Court is not assured. Florida, Alaska, and California courts have rejected a right to assisted suicide as part of their state's respective constitutional rights to privacy, contrary decisions McCarter acknowledged, but then ignored. But the implications of her ruling bear exploring because they illustrate the radical depth, breadth, and scope of the putative right to die, as well as illuminating the larger cultural transformations that are being furthered by radical judicial rulings. The facts of the case involved a terminally ill man, who died before the opinion was issued, wanting the right to assisted suicide, joined by physicians who want to write lethal prescriptions for their dying patients. But the broad wording of the Armstrong opinion, followed by McCarter's elevation of assisted suicide to the level of a fundamental right, would seem to preclude any meaningful limitations of who can receive death with dignity and who can help end the lives of the suicidal. A fundamental premise of McCarter's ruling is that people have the right to decide for themselves what constitutes dignity, which for her wasn't about the intrinsic value of each life, but personal beliefs. To reach this conclusion, she cited Armstrong, quoted a law review article, and referenced a controversial section of a major abortion decision of the United States Supreme Court. First, Armstrong, quote, respect for the dignity of each individual, a fundamental right protected by the Montana Constitution, demands that people have for themselves the moral right and moral responsibility to confront the most fundamental questions of life in general, answering to their own consciences and convictions, close quote. Then the law review article, quote, the meaning of the concept of individual dignity may be directly assailed by treatment which degrades, demeans, debases, disgraces, or dishonors persons, or it may be more indirectly undermined by treatment which either interferes with self-directed and responsible lives or which trivializes the choices persons make for their own lives. Finally, and certainly not surprisingly, she cited U.S. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy's infamous mystery of life passage from the 1992 abortion case Planned Parenthood v. Casey, even though the Supreme Court unanimously refused in 1997 to apply the statement or create a federal right to assisted suicide. Quote, the most intimate and personal choices a person may make in a lifetime, choices central to personal dignity and autonomy, are central to liberty protected by the 14th Amendment. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life." Close quote. In essence, Judge McCarter ruled that acting upon such metaphysical beliefs trumps all but the most compelling state interests. If that is so, how can assisted suicide possibly be limited to the terminally ill in Montana? Many people suffer more profoundly and for far longer than people who are dying. Indeed, if the right to die with dignity is fundamental, how logically could people with debilitating chronic illnesses, the elderly who are tired of living, people who are in despair about becoming paralyzed, or indeed those in existential agony be prevented from exercising their constitutionally protected desires? People in these circumstances receive euthanasia and assisted suicide already in the Netherlands, and suicide tourism is a growth industry in Switzerland, with people in such distress flying in from around the world to die at the hands of lay-assisted suicide groups. And why should the participation by doctors be limited to writing lethal prescriptions? If they are going to be relieved from liability under Montana's homicide statutes, they should also be permitted to provide lethal injections, particularly since studies from the Netherlands demonstrate that active euthanasia is less likely than assisted suicide to cause disturbing side effects, such as nausea and extended coma. Moreover, why require doctors at all? It's my life, so why can't I choose to be killed by anyone I want? So is the Baxter decision just the latest sign that we are heading toward a society ruled by radical libertarianism with our only uniting value being choice? I think not. Judicial activism is really about imposing upon the rest of us the mores and social values favored by liberal intellectual elites, whose interests the courts tend to serve and views reflect. And while personal autonomy and an end to moralizing is certainly a part of this agenda, it isn't the be-all and end-all. As the personal behaviors favored by the liberal intelligentsia are being transformed by courts into constitutionally protected activities, judges are just as likely to find the personal behaviors disfavored by these same powerful forces to be controllable by the state. Thus, courts are unlikely to judicially protect the conscience rights of medical professionals who do not wish to be complicit in procedures such as abortion or assisted suicide, even if these activities became constitutional rights via mystery of life type analyses. The same paradigm is likely to be true in fields beyond the bioethical. Courts are likely to bless the imposition of norms favored by liberal elites in total disregard of choice by dissenters. For example, the time is probably coming when we will not be allowed to drive a car that gets 8 miles per gallon, or burn a fire in the fireplace, or develop our resources if it is deemed to harm the rights of nature, as have already been established in the Constitution of Ecuador. You get the drift. Cases such as Baxter, Armstrong, and Casey, among others, are really part of a slow-motion coup de culture. The ongoing drive to topple the current social order that is based in Judeo-Christian humanistic moral philosophy, with the eventual legislative and judicial implementations of a dramatically different value system founded in utilitarianism, hedonism, and most probably radical environmentalism. Once that process is complete, the courts will quickly make it clear that choice has its limits. I'm Wesley J. Smith, and that's my opinion. Thanks for listening.